You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to a good day's racing at Ascot. We've got afternoon cards at Pontefract and Wolverhampton as well, and into the evening racing on the turf at Brighton and Yarmouth. Racing Radio live from 1:10pm on Wednesday afternoon with Ross Briley, Andrew Mount and Chris Pimlott, your team in the studio, bringing you full race commentaries and results as well as expert betting insight across all of the cards on Wednesday. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and joining me in the studio today, it's a very warm welcome to Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
Good afternoon, Sam. Yeah, very well. Thank you very much. Looking forward to Guineas Week and Chester next week and Ascot the weekend after, so all good stuff.
Yeah, it's a cracking time of year. For many people, this is the week where the flat season really springs into life. We have obviously the opening day with the Lincoln, then there's a little bit of a lull.
Yeah, we
then,
have a phony war, don't we?
With
the Craven meeting and Newbury's Greenham meeting. But this Saturday, you know, it has a feeling Guineas Day like no other, really. Well, perhaps a little bit like the Aintree Grand National meeting, that you're actually witnessing a little bit of history.
Yeah.
You know, those races that you're going to see time and time again on Racing UK in years to come. Chance of seeing a real superstar and a real almost legend of the turf, really, without being too cliche ridden.
Yeah, no, sure. I take your point there. That those classics, the fact that they are so steeped in history.
And they're iconic, aren't they? And, you know, yes, a Champion Hurdle, a Gold Cup and Champion Chase. Those are iconic races as well. But I do think the Guineas just has that little bit of extra feel about it. And, you know, if you see a good quality, you know, Guineas winner like a Frankel or Zafonic or whatever it might be, those sort of races live long in your memory.
Yeah, definitely. It's shaping up to be a cracking renewal as well, especially of the 2000 Guineas, Sam. Churchill, obviously, the 6-4 favourite with the series, has been favourite for the race for a long while. Haven't seen him as of yet on the track this season, but there's no reason why he won't be fully fit and firing. We saw Minding make her seasonal reappearance on the track yesterday, and she looked none the worse for her seasonal reappearance. Churchill, would you have liked to see him on the track, Churchill, this season?
Oh, yeah, obviously, as a punter and tipster, you want to see as much evidence as you possibly can before you try and make a decision about what's going to win a race. So there is a feeling that the one or two pieces of the jigsaw aren't quite in the puzzle, so to speak. So, yeah, we are a little bit stepping into the unknown with Churchill, but we did see him plenty last year, and he looked a very professional type of horse, great temperament, quickens well, handles fast ground well, and handles Newmarket well, having won the Duos. So he has got most boxes ticked. The only one that isn't is the fitness angle.
Yes.
And whether he's going to be, you know, absolutely cherry ripe for this race, or whether it's a stepping stone. I know it's a Guineas, but Aidan O'Brien has still used this race before now as a stepping stone onto better things. So it'll be fascinating to see how he gets on. He certainly faces one or two very decent opponents. You know, Al Wauquiez was tremendously impressive in France last time, coming from last to first to win in a world record time.
He's had a big talk up from Andre Farbe in the paper as well this morning.
Absolutely, yeah. All connections are very, very confident in him. So providing he doesn't get lost a little bit coming down into the dip and out of it, then he's going to be a really interesting runner. Obviously, Barney Roy is a horse that I sort of fell in love with seeing him win at Haydock last year. I stood next to Richard Hannon Jr. at Newmarket that day because it was a Cambridgeshire day, and he had a bit of a twinkle in his eye when talking about it. So it's a horse that they've always held in high esteem, and he certainly delivered in the Greenham, didn't he, over an inadequate 7 furlongs. Mm. And you've got some other really good supporting cast members as well, you know, the likes of Eminent, who is going to be a really formidable tool over a mile and a mile and a quarter this year.
Yeah, he's been the real market mover, Eminent. In the immediate aftermath of the Craven, was as big as 12-1, and that's all the way into 9-2 now with us here at William Hill. And do you think that could potentially have been even shorter if he was owned by Sexier Connections, or if he was trained by a bigger yard? No disrespect to Martin Mead.
Well, that's right. I certainly think the Connections angle, because I hear on the grapevine that, you know, Hamdan Al Maktoum wanted to buy Eben and after he'd won first time out, Jim Crowley rode him, and obviously Jim was aware that he was going to get the Hamdan job, and so I think he encouraged his boss to perhaps put in an offer and see if he could nick him. But obviously Sir Peter Vela, who's a renowned bloodstock man from New Zealand, doesn't need the money. This is a dream to win the Guinness. So I think for the good of the sport, he's obviously maintained his interest and kept hold of Eminent. And I think it's great that, say, the small man, Martin Means, a multi-millionaire.
And
Sir Peter Vela isn't sure of a few quid either.
Yes.
So it's not as if it's Samson and Goliath territory, but it's great that a stable with probably 30 to 50 runners or 30 to 50 horses can take on the might of Ballydoyle, etc., etc. So, no, brilliant to... brilliant race to see, and it, in some ways it's quite nice there's just the 12 declared at the 5 day stage, because there's every chance that we might just see them all race in an arrowhead formation down the track, and
rather than splitting into two groups
or three groups exactly, which means it's a, you know, it can be a rather messy race really.
Yeah, and just another word on Eminent before we move on. Great to see Jim Crowley's going to retain the ride. He's been either, it's very sporting from Sheikh Hamdan Al Maktoum, or Jim has got this into his retainer that he's still going to be free to take rides from elsewhere, because for a retainer, he's ridden plenty for other owners and other yards this year, Jim.
Yeah, and I think, I wonder whether, you know, because obviously by the end of his contract, Paul Hannigan looked a pretty dissatisfied and a rather jaded character. And I wonder whether Jim Crowley's learned from that. He's obviously been around the block a fair bit, Jim, both jumping and on the flat. And maybe, as you say, that was sort of written into his retainer that there is a certain amount of freedom allowed, and providing he didn't take the mickey and he was respectful of the fact that Hamdan Al Maktoum was obviously paying the retainer, he would be then allowed to take, you know, one or two very decent outside rides.
Which he's done to great effect so far.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's a terrific jockey, isn't he? Yeah. He's just a 90-95% man, isn't he, Jim Crowley? Very rarely makes a bad ride, you know, produces a bad ride. Very rarely in the wrong place in a race. Rise percentages, strong in a finish, can settle a horse. He's just got everything you need. He doesn't lose races. He wins more races than he should. And that, for me, is a testament of how good a rider he is.
Indeed. And as you just mentioned there, good to see Paul Hannigan revitalised in a way now.
Yeah, he seems a happier fit with Richard Fahey for whatever reason. It's probably a lot to do with the fact that, you know, he's back up north again with his family.
Yeah, sure.
Place that he obviously feels very comfortable in. And you know, Newmarket isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
And, great to see him back amongst the winners, riding with plenty of confidence. To be honest, I didn't think he had that bad a couple of years for Hamdan, to be honest. I know one or two people on his back, but I still thought he did a pretty good job there.
You've got to have the horses as well, haven't you?
You have, first and foremost. You know, and he had a fair bit of success as well, so... wasn't as if he was an abject failure. Far from it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Great stuff. Anything else caught your eye lately, Sam, then, before we turn our attention towards Wednesday's racing?
No, let's crack on to Ascot. Looks a good card Wednesday.
It certainly does, yeah. We've got four races picked out from Ascot on Wednesday, beginning with the 2:35 racing over a mile on the round course for this. Fillies Condition Stakes is a Class 3 event for the three-year-olds, and an interesting field of lined up, Sam. There could be one or two potentially smart fillies in this.
Yeah, looks a really interesting race, to be honest. Chock full of a bit of quality, you know, obviously the likes of Prosper, Fleeting Motion, Sirencester, and even Glitter Girl, who didn't run too badly in a Guineas trial herself 11 days ago, that they all bear close inspection. But the one that the sort of the sexy horse, if you like, is Ice Spire, who trained by John Gosden, ridden by Frankie Dettori. I mean, it just seems to be an unending conveyor belt of horses emerging from John Gosden's.
Yeah. A lot of them fillies as well.
Got some really good fillies, some plumbing decent colts as well. I think he's got 8 in the Dante. So he's got a whole host of real good quality three-year-olds, John Gosden. And I Spire could well live up to that billing as well. She holds an entry in the Coronation Stakes later in the season. She was a really fluent and impressive winner at Salisbury over 7 furlongs with a bit of cuts in the ground at the back end of last year. So she's clearly a filly of very immense promise. She does wear the hood, so she's perhaps a little hot-headed for a return, but she just looked a quality animal in winning at Salisbury, and it'll be fascinating to see how she gets on here.
I Spire then, the choice in that 2:35 at Ascot, as we turn our attention to the next race on the card then, which is the 3:10, and this one is over 2 miles. It's the Group 3 Sagaro Stakes. 4-year-olds and upwards can contest this, and we've got last year's surprise St. Ledger winner lining up as well, Sam, in the shape of Harbour Law.
Yeah, this is an interesting race as well, because Palisator, who, in talking of horses being hot-headed, he could certainly be that. He's had a couple of wins at Ascot, but he invariably needs a run or two just to tune him up. Nearly Caught is a really strong staying type of horse who Just not sure that he'd be totally suited by an early field, an early season small field contest like this. He just really does want a good gallop to run at, and those French races, they seem to suit him a little bit better, or they certainly did last summer. He struck up a really good relationship with Umberto Rispoli and won a couple of times in Deauville and ran really well in the Longchamp race at Arc weekend. Battersea is an interesting one, stepping up in trip. He could find significant improvement for that. But Harbour Law is going to get the vote because he's got a decent record fresh, and I would imagine that Laura Mongan would have him pretty much ready to rock and roll. I would suggest this would be a good stepping stone for something like the Gold Cup a little bit further down the line. And yes, he was a little bit of a surprise in winning at Doncaster. One or two fair judges put him up. Fair play to them as well, because yeah. I couldn't see it. But he's obviously finished second in a Queen's Vase as well. And that Newmarket race, the staying race there at July meeting, he ran quite well in that as well. But I think it's interesting that they've started off at Ascot over the 2 miles. It's a course that he's already proven at. He doesn't go too badly at all right-handed. He's also won at Sandown in his career. So everything looks in good order for him to run quite a nice race at a tidy price in this Sagaro.
Okay, Harbour Law then, the choice in that 3.10 for Sam. We go over to the 3.45 now, which is another Group 3 contest. Over 6 furlongs this time, the Pavilion Stakes. So we go from the stayers to the sprinters. And there are a couple of horses in here who were very impressive in their two-year-old season and make their return at 3.
Yeah, Blue Point being one of those. Yeah. Obviously, he's rated 116. He finished third in the Dewhurst behind Churchill. So, that was a trip that perhaps stretched him a little, but he still ran, very, very solid race. He'd previously won at York in midsummer, was turned over at Newmarket by the last line in a bit of a shock result in the middle park, but then obviously bounced back to somewhere like his best form and got one of his best racing post ratings when chasing home Churchill, only beaten less than a couple of lengths in that Dewhurst. Preference for me, though, is going to be for Harry Angel, who I think has always been the apple of his trainer's eye. I think he's going to be a bigger price as well with William Hill, sort of 5-1 on the overnight prices, and I think that's very fair for a horse that's got a Commonwealth Cup entry. Very, very impressive at Newbury. I don't think the stable could believe he got beaten at Ascot first time up. They were really disappointed, but he showed the benefit of that performance with a really stylish, stunning performance in the Mill Reef Stakes, where he beat Perfect Angel very comfortably. Global Applause back in third, etc., etc. So I think there was a huge sigh of relief all round when he managed to get his head in front, because he can be gets a little bit hot under the collar, old Harry Angel. He can just be a bit hot-headed himself. They managed to keep that temperament in check at the moment, so fingers crossed that continues. He can run a big race here before going on to the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot.
Harry Angel then, the choice for Sam in that 3.45 as we go to the final race on today's podcast. Then this comes up at 4.20, racing on the straight course this time, over a mile for the listed Paradise Stakes. What did you make of this heat?
Yeah, I thought it was a difficult race to try and evaluate, to be honest. Mondialis has run here 3 times and hasn't run particularly well. Was a non-runner when I thought he had a fairly decent chance at Sandown on Friday, so I don't know what to make of his chance. Firmament obviously progressed up through the grades. I tipped him in a number of handicaps last year. He ran really well without sort of getting the main win that his performances suggested he should have done. So in the end, I've ended up picking Enard, who was a bit of a disappointment in the mile on all-weather championship finals day, but that said, he was a couple of lengths behind Sovereign Debt that day, and he was drawn on in stall one, I think, up round the inner, and I don't think that suited him particularly. Just didn't seem to get the run of the race. He didn't seem to get the run of the race from there. And horses that finished in front of him, the likes of Salatine, Nimir and Sovereign Debt, well, Sovereign Debt's obviously won that race at Sandown on the Friday before the Gold Cup, so that form's been enhanced a little bit. And he previously looked a really stylish prospect bolting up at Kempton. I think he's worth a try on the turf, and I'd be disappointed if he can't run a big race here. He just looks as though there's further improvement to come from him.
Enard gets the vote then in the 4.20 at Ascot. Thank you very much for that, Sam. Just give us a quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, of your 4 selections for
of course.
What's a good midweek meeting at Ascot?
It is, yeah. It really does illuminate the week, doesn't it? 2.35 I Spire. Obviously got some lofty entries further down the line for John Gosson, who can do little wrong with his three-year-olds at the moment. 3.10, I'm going to go with Harbour Law in the Sagaro. Around about 6 or 7 to 1 chance. I think that's very fair each way if all 8 stay in. And the 3.45, Harry Angel's a horse that I've got a lot of time for, and I think his connections feel the same way about him. So he's a Commonwealth Cup entry. Might be worth digging around for prices for that race, for that Group 1 at the Royal Meeting. And in the 4.20, Enard, given a chance to try and translate some of that very, very useful all-weather form to the turf.
Excellent stuff then. Should be a good day of racing at Ascot. We've also got action from Pontefract and Wolverhampton in the afternoon, with Brighton and Yarmouth in the evening. Racing Radio live from 1:10 p.m. on Wednesday with Ross Briley, Andrew Mount and Chris Pimnott in the studio. Thank you very much for that, Sam. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Thank you very much, Sam.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.